Welcome back to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. Now, before the break, we were talking about Israel, about the boycott campaign, and about the power of the pro-Israel lobby. So let's do some numbers. The pro-Israel lobby in the United States is extraordinarily powerful. It does have a death grip on the American political system. That much is obvious. So who are the Israel lobby in the United States of America? Well, for a start, they're not all or mainly Jews. That's a very important point to grasp. There are only 6, 7, 8 million Jews in America, in a country of 200 million voters. Such a bloc, even if it voted as a bloc, even if it donated as a bloc, could not have that death grip on the politics of the United States. In fact, it doesn't vote as a bloc. It doesn't act as a bloc. It doesn't donate as a bloc. And a huge number of Jews in America and in the world are against Israel, either because they are Orthodox Jews who believe that this political creation of a Zionist state calling itself Israel is itself a blasphemy, or because they are progressive Jews who are against the crimes that Israel commits. And there are hundreds of thousands of such Jews around the world, including inside what they call Israel, and certainly including inside the United States of America. Added to that bulk of the Jewish population in America that does support Israel, undoubtedly is tens of millions of Christian Zionist fanatic fundamentalists who support Israel in order to bring about Armageddon and the end of the world. I'm not making that up. That's why they support Israel. But where are the Muslims? There are 2 billion Muslims in the world. Most of the richest people in the world are Muslims. The biggest sovereign wealth funds in the world are in Muslim countries. If the Muslims acted in concert in defense of the Palestinian people and against the crimes of Israel, it would be over. Dear viewers, just like that, we can't even get Muslims to boycott products that are being grown and made and harvested from occupied Palestinian land. I even find Israeli products on sale in some Muslim shops that are otherwise collecting money for zakat, collecting money for the mosque, putting up posters for good Muslim causes. That's how far we still have to go. And of course, the richer the Muslim, the less likely they are to be doing anything about their wajib, their duty to the Palestinian people. And the richer the country involved, Qatar and Saudi Arabia are spending billions creating Muslim-Muslim wars, Arab-Arab wars, turning one group of Arabs against another group of Arabs, whilst Israel is sitting in occupation of Jerusalem itself. Jerusalem itself, where Al-Aqsa stands, from the roof of which the Prophet Muhammad ascended to the heaven and returned with the revelation. Can you believe it? They don't lift a finger to end the occupation of Jerusalem. but they'll expend any money getting Muslims to fight each other. And even if they can, enticing the Crusader powers back into the Muslim world so that they can do some of the killing for them. You really couldn't make it up. Tony in the UK wants to talk about this subject. I've no idea his point of view may or may not agree with me. Tony, go ahead.
Hello, George. Nice to hear again from you, George. How are you?
Very well. Good to hear your voice. Go on.
Yeah. Well, I'm touching on some which have already been touched, but I'll go briefly. First and foremost, George, our sympathy and condolences go to the Israeli victims in yesterday's coach blast in Bulgaria.
Yeah.
But, George, it does seem a little puzzling, and I'm not pointing a finger at anybody, that this explosion took place only 48 hours earlier when the coalition government in Israel broke up, and at a time when Netanyahu is now losing support among his own people. We must remember also the victims, the people, the Iranian scientists, scholars, who were murdered, and the use of British Australian forge passports to gain access to a Dubai hotel in order to assassinate the guests over there, and also the continuing drone attacks in violation of international law in the Yemen, Afghanistan, and in Pakistan. What is the hidden and wider picture of the United States and the Zionist co-conspirators up to?
Well, it's a very useful tour d'horizon, Tony. It has a lot of validity. I have absolutely no idea who carried out the mass murder in Bulgaria. I don't put it past Zionism to have done it, but I doubt if they did. I'm absolutely certain that Iran didn't do it. How could Iran possibly benefit in this set of circumstances from killing unarmed Israeli tourists in Bulgaria? You've only got to ask that question to realize that the answer is absolutely zero. Tamar is in the UK. He wants to talk about the same subject. Tamar, welcome.
Hello, George. It's my first time on the show. I'm really proud. I can finally get to speak to you.
Welcome, Tamar.
I want to congratulate you on your great work. You've been very inspirational for
all
of us, especially the Egyptians as well.
Thank you, brother.
I just want to. I want you to shed some light. It's more of asking you questions than actually commenting on something. Just off the subject, I want to know what exactly do you think of the situation in Egypt at the moment? Some people are saying that Hosni was removed by English and American and Israeli kind of helping the revolution take place at the beginning. I'm not sure if that's a fact or not, but the confusing thing is he was an ally with the West for many years, and then apparently they also helped in removing him. And does this mean that Morsi is actually playing a role in creating instability with Israel, or does it mean that Morsi has actually been elected by the people, or is he still another, like a Hosni part two, but coming in with the face of Islam and still helping that agenda in the Middle East? I mean, what is Israel's relationship with Egypt now? What do they want? Are they planning something? Or is he really somebody who's coming in to help?
Well, it's a big question. We've been dealing with it over the weeks. Hosni Mubarak was removed by millions of Egyptians being ready to give their blood and their lives to overthrow his dictatorship. And they succeeded in doing so. And I believe that it's an insult to them to say that Britain and the US and Israel actually removed Hosni Mubarak. In fact, Britain, the US and Israel tried until the last hours to prop up Hosni Mubarak. And if they could not, then to insert Omar Suleiman, his deputy, in his place to preserve as much of the regime as they could. Omar Suleiman, who himself passed away this very day in the United States of America. There's a revolution going on in Egypt. Some days there's two steps forward. Other days there's one step back. Sometimes three steps back. This revolution continues to be played out. I know which side I'm on. I'm on the side of the revolution. Israel, the US, the UK, and elements of the top brass of the Egyptian army are undoubtedly trying to rescue something of their own geostrategic position in Egypt, the most important of all Arab countries. But that's contested by the mass of the Egyptian people, including the Muslim Brotherhood, who won a historic victory in electing Dr. Morsi as the president. And we should support Dr. Morsi in doing the right thing, like he did today when he met Ismail Haniya and the other leaders of the Palestinian resistance organization Hamas. We should criticize and oppose Dr. Morsi if he does the wrong thing. Politics is a dynamic business. Revolution is a process, not an event. And we have to be involved in that process and involved in those dynamic politics. Strengthen the good, weaken the bad. That's the approach that we should take. Lastly, Tamar, I'll make this point. It is, as is evident from this show already this evening, a default position amongst many Muslims to believe that the others are so powerful that they can make anything happen. They can move things around like pieces on a chessboard. This, if you think about it, is a self-exculpatory exercise, because if your enemy is so powerful that he can decide to do anything and it will happen, well, what's the point in trying? God is great, Tamar, as you know, on the eve of Ramadan. And the people will have to take responsibility for their own situation, because God will never help any people until they have resolved to help themselves. Let's go to the comment wall and take another email. This one is from Simone in London. David Cameron and William Hague, by their actions or omissions, both support Bahraini torture of Olympic athletes and the Israeli torture of Palestinians by using Olympic gangsters G4S. How extreme is this statement? Would it hold up in court? Actually, it's a good statement, and I believe that it would stand up in court. So I associate myself with it. And let's see if G4S, with their current situation in British public opinion, are prepared, Simone, to take you and me to the court to sue us for defamation. Let's see, shall we? Rafiq is in the UK. He wants to talk about Israel. Go ahead, Rafiq.
Yes, George. What I want to know is how many people have got to die needless without reason for Israel to be safe? And if it's America, British, and MLOT are giving weapons to people to go and kill other people in Syria just to get rid of the government, why can't they do the same with Israel? Why can't you supply guns and bombs and whatever they need to sort out?
Because the governments of Qatar and Saudi Arabia are in league with the government of Israel. They are belly dancing for the government of Israel. That's the truth of it. The last time I was in Doha, I'm not allowed to go there anymore, I was staying in the same hotel as the president of Israel. Normal relations between Qatar and Israel, but they can't have normal relations with Bashar al-Assad. They won't even give bread to the Palestinians under siege in Gaza for years. And they won't force Mubarak over years to open the gate of Rafah so the Palestinians could breathe and even eat. But they will give unlimited money, weapons, and media propaganda power to an Arab-Arab conflict, to a Muslim-Muslim conflict. Now, if that's not belly dancing for Israel, I'm not sure what belly dancing for Israel would look like. Let's go to Switzerland, talk to Hamid about Israel. Hamid, welcome to the show.
Yes, good evening, Mr. Galloway.
Good evening, go ahead.
Mr. Galloway, the subject that I'm bringing up is about international silence and double standard regarding Israel.
Yeah.
And crimes they're committing. Well, I live in France, I work in Geneva, and where I work and where I live, we cannot talk about this issue. The word Israel is a taboo. everyone is afraid to lose their job. You cannot openly, even a cafeteria, in a bus, no one dares touching this issue. Even Palestinian people are interested, but they cannot. And partly is misinformation. French TV, French radio, Swiss German language, Italian, Swiss French, Swiss German, Swiss Italian language radio station, TV station, they all have their bias. And so there's an absolute misinformation. And so partly it's because of ignorance. People don't know what's going on. And the other part is that guilt feeling or fear of losing their job or being called anti-Semitic or whatever names yeah. they're being called.
Well, we have to be clear on this subject, Hamid, and we have to be brave on it. I hope that most people watching this would agree that I try very hard to be both. Let's go for what will probably be the last call of the evening. Khalil, who's in Norway, who wants to talk about Israel. Khalil, welcome to the show. Khalil? Unfortunately, we just lost Khalil. But we have been. No, here's Jonathan. Let's hear from Jonathan. I thought we were going to come to the end there. Jonathan, welcome to the show, my friend. Jonathan, are you on the air?
I'm on the air.
Yes, go ahead, Jonathan.
Hello, George.
Yes, go ahead.
Right. I thank a lot for your comment and everything. I love the way you speak. You're the only person who speaks the truth here, I know.
Thanks,
and
Jonathan.
All what I know, and I want to tell the whole world to know, is that the Saudis, they are Jewish. They are not Arabs. They are Jewish.
No, they're not Jewish. They're not Jewish.
They were Jewish.
No, the Saudi people are a Muslim Arab people. They are a Muslim.
The
they are a Muslim Arab people. I don't allow this
Jewish.
Kind of thing, Jonathan. You might be able to find places that you can phone up and say that kind of thing, but not to me. The Saudi people are Arab Muslim people. I will not have this kind of thing on my show. I'd rather not do the show than have this kind of thing on my show. So I'm sorry that you were the last caller, and I'm sorry that you said what you said. I accuse the Saudi dictatorship, dripping in blood, corpulent with gluttony and sin, its pockets full of the looted trillions of dollars of the money from the wealth that God gave the Muslims. I accuse them. I'm not defending the Saudis, but to come and say what you just said is, first of all, factual rubbish, and secondly, deeply offensive, because you mean it to be, to both Jews and Muslims. Ramadan's about to begin. Ramadan Mubarak in advance. God willing, I'll be back next week at the same time. Go in peace.
Hello, if you just comment your name and the place you left my number. And just make sure that your television volume is set to 0.
0, 0. Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, I know. You just...